who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This phrase that we're thinking about tonight, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me. If you notice, there's three verbs in there: redeemed, purchased, won. And for our thoughts and reflections tonight, we're just going to think about redeemed, just that one verb this evening. First of all, notice all three verbs, redeemed and purchased and won, they're all past tense. He has redeemed me. He has purchased me. He has won me. It's done. It's completed. Our confession about Jesus Christ, what it means to be our Lord, is that it's done. He has done everything that's necessary. The redeeming is done. I don't have to add to it. He isn't still deciding whether to redeem me or not. It's done. It's completed. And that's the first thing we say. He's my Lord. He has redeemed me. And also, I'll give you the figures if you're looking at the notes in a moment. Redeemed is an Old Testament word. It almost never shows up in the New Testament. And so these passages that we read, there's many passages in the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament concept. It comes in, God sets up the system of how his people are going to live together, especially in the one reading, the land. But it has this meaning of to buy back. But this meaning is from the Old Testament. And then we find out that the great Redeemer is then Jesus Christ. But it's rooted in the life and in the living of the Old Testament people. As I have down there in the ESV translation, which we usually use in church, English Standard Version, in that translation, in the Old Testament, redeem is used 37 times, and in the New Testament, it's used 3 times. The word redeemed, the past tense verb, in the Old Testament is used 48 times. In the New Testament, it's used 4 times. And redeemer, the noun, is used 29 times in the Old Testament, 1 time in the New Testament. And the 1 time isn't even referring to Jesus, but to Moses, actually, in Stephen's speech in Acts. So we see, just from the numbers, this is an Old Testament word. It comes from the Hebrew. It comes from the life of the people. And it has this idea of buying back, to buy back. And it can also be deliver or purchase, ransom. And the thing about redeem, and it comes out very strongly in the Leviticus reading and other parts of Leviticus as well, it's family, kinsmen, buy back. That was a family responsibility to buy back. In the Leviticus reading, you notice there that if the person then, if he has to sell his land, then the family related and in the immediate family is responsible to at some point buy back that land and give it back to the original owner. So a brother might buy back the land and give that land back to the brother. Or if the person had to sell the land because he had to raise some money, and then he couldn't, then he got some more money later on, he earned more money, he could buy it back himself. Or what would happen then if nobody bought the land back? God wanted the family to keep the land, and so what they did is every 50 years, God commanded a year of jubilee, and every 50 years, all the land went back to the original owners. And so, and if you're wondering about what if you bought the land and you only had it for 5 years and the 50 years, well, if you read earlier in Leviticus, it considers that. It says how many years you bought it till the year of Jubilee. So you would buy back the land according to how many years it was used. And God was protecting his people, wanted stability in his people. But the idea of redeemer, redeem, that comes back from family buying back that land that was lost, that was sold and given back. It means to bring back to the owner, bring back to the original owner. Yes, and I hope your wheels are turning a little bit. Oh, God bought us back. He owns us. Our Redeemer buys us back. And you see this whole concept is right in the land in the beginning of the people of Israel, to buy back. To me, when I studied it, I made a mistake just in the notes there. It's God said in Leviticus 25, 23, chapter 25, not 20. This caught me because God explained this buying back and this redeeming commands that he gives to the people, how they're set up to be his people. He said, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity. It's not supposed to be sold forever. You can sell it for a while. For the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. It's interesting. This reminds me exactly how the whole country of Ghana is set up. And maybe other African countries too, I'm not sure. But I know for Ghana, I know the laws there. The land in Ghana does not belong to the people. It belongs to the chief. And you lease the land from the chief. And you can get a 99-year lease or like this. And you can imagine that there can be all kinds of controversies, all kinds of, hey, chief, you know, maybe give the land to me. And that's the way things go there. But the land belongs to the chief. And now that I think about it, the name of God in the Kinkomba language is the land owner, the one who owns the land. Utendan Uambor. The head landowner. And God wanted them to see, so you can sell the land, but it's really for the family. So if you sell it out of the family, I want it to come back because, in effect, I own the land. You are but sojourners. You are but strangers. You are travelers. And that's a word that we use more often, traveler. And then it caught me. You are a traveler, you're strangers and travelers, sojourners, with me. So as God's people in the Old Testament, when they received this, they were in the wilderness. But as later on, they would get assigned different portions of the land in Canaan, God said, even though you're settled and you have land and you're farming, you're still a stranger and sojourner, but I'm with you. And I want you to keep your land. I want to care for you. So if you have to sell the land, it's going to come back to you. But it's not yours. I'm really the one who owns the land. And so that whole word of redeemer comes back. If you have to sell the land, then it will be redeemed back to you. And if your family doesn't redeem it back for you, then in 50 years, I will, because it's a year of Jubilee and everybody gets their land back. When we think about Job's statement, we understand and realize that Job, all commentators see that Job is a very ancient text. And most would see Job living at the time of Abraham, even 500 years before this Leviticus text. So we see that in ancient times, God's people saw that life in this body now is not the end, that there is a life that goes on, that there is a resurrection of the body. And we remember just basic story of Job, that Job was this great follower of God, and he was very wealthy and had a big family. But Satan came to God and said, Job's only following you because you've given him many riches and wealth. And God said, no, you can test Job and see. Only don't kill him. And in fact, he lost all his property. His wife turned against him. His children were all just all killed in a storm. And he lost all his property, and his friends tried to console him. That's what much of Job is about, is talking about why is he suffering like this. But in chapter 19, in a response to his friends, Job makes this confession. And he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, the one who buys me back. So Job is saying, despite my illnesses, and he was very ill and he had skin disease and everything going on, despite my illnesses, despite my family, my children being all gone, despite my wife not being nice to me, despite my friends saying I've done something wrong, I know that my Redeemer lives. And he says, and the last he will stand upon the earth. What does that mean? At the last, my Redeemer is going to prevail. He is going to stand and he's going to prevail. Nothing can knock my Redeemer down. If you think about that, when we sing, I know that my Redeemer lives, that's a very important thing to say along with Job, because it's saying the one who's going to buy me back cannot be beat. He lives. He will stand. I'm weak. I'm falling, but he will stand. And Job has this great confidence that his Redeemer, his God, is going to raise him up, and he is going to see God with his own body, with his own eyes. Even death cannot defeat his Redeemer, for his Redeemer is going to raise him up. This is a man and a believer from the time of Abraham. In Luke 24, as we notice, the word Redeemer rarely appears in the New Testament. But it appears on Easter morning as Jesus is talking to, or maybe it's afternoon. In Easter afternoon, Jesus appears to these two disciples, and they're walking, and he hides his identity to them. And what did they say about Jesus? Did you catch that? Is a part in what you read. What did they say? They said, haven't you heard anything about everything that's happened in Jerusalem? This Jesus of Nazareth, and he was a prophet, and everybody recognized, but our leaders and the government killed him. And they say in verse 21 of Luke 24, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They are using that word that goes back to the one who buys back. The word that Job used, I know that my Redeemer lives. They're using the word of the family member who buys back that land that was lost and brings it back. We're hoping that he was the one that would buy back Israel for God. But he's dead now. What do we do? And what did Jesus say? Didn't I tell you? The Christ, the chosen one, the one anointed one, the Christ, that Redeemer must suffer and die and rise again. He must go through all these things. That's how he buys you back. Your Redeemer is alive. And to have the angels announce to the women is a wonderful thing, because heaven is sending a message, the Father is sending a message to the women and to the disciples, the Redeemer, the Christ, is alive. And Job's words come true. I know that my Redeemer lives. When we think of this term, this name for Jesus that we use so often, I went to Our Redeemer Lutheran Grade School in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And there's Redeemer Lutheran churches in many places. This is saying and making the confession and statement that Jesus, my Lord, has bought me back, as he will hear in the next service, from sin, death, and the power of the devil. But he's bought me back. And he's the one I look to, and he is alive. And as is very important in the Old Testament, he is my family, my kin, who has saved me. My father has sent his son so that I might be back in the family. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your son to be our redeemer, to buy us back from sin and death and all evil. We ask you to always give us confidence of this, joy in this, and we ask you also that this message may be known far and wide. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.